Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. John Bolton plays hardball. Even his backers agree with that. They say it's one of the reasons why he should be confirmed as America's next ambassador to the United Nations. Bolton's critics say he goes too far. He once remarked that it wouldn't make a bit of difference if the UN building in New York had its top 10 stories removed. His critics also say the man's too much of an ideologue, too much of a neocon, relying on his own interpretation of intelligence and squashing the opinions of those who disagree. Well, Bolton's set to go before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for his confirmation as UN ambassador next week. And there's been quite a lobbying campaign on both sides. Dozens of former ambassadors signing a letter pronouncing Bolton as the wrong man, and in response, dozens of security experts signing a letter of support, praising Bolton's, quote, indisputably impressive intellect and, quote, robust diplomatic skills. Well, this morning we'll hear the case for and the case against John Bolton. We'd also like to hear your thoughts. Do you think Bolton is the right or the wrong man to carry America's national interest at the UN? What's more important, to have someone there who calls them the way he sees them, or someone who's a bit more diplomatic? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we'll start today with one of the men whose signature appears on the letter of support for John Bolton. Caspar Weinberger was Secretary of Defense for 7 years in the Reagan administration. He's joining us on the line from Mount Desert Island in Maine. Hello, Mr. Weinberger.
Good morning.
Tell me why you wanted to add your voice to those speaking in support of John Bolton.
Well, I think he's an excellent man for the job. I've known him, and he's filled many previous posts that have to do with international organizations and with diplomacy. He is a forceful, vigorous spokesman. But again, we've forgotten two things, I think, here. We've forgotten what the United Nations is, to which he has been appointed as our representative. And secondly, we've forgotten really what the duties of an ambassador are. Ambassadors don't make policy. They transmit it. And most of the opposition to Mr. Bolton are people who were disappointed in the way the election came out last November. And they would like to have had a different result. And so every time the president, whom they dislike and oppose, makes an appointment, they at least have an automatic reflex opposition to it.
I take the point that you're making about his not making policy, but in fact carrying the policy of the White House. But you also said he is a forceful and an outspoken person. And I'm wondering if that's not the kind of character who's likely to alienate people at the UN. That's one of the charges.
I don't think so. Either they're alienated or they're not. There are very few votes we could actually win in the United Nations with the number of nations that are representative, either in the General Assembly or in the Security Council. He's persuasive. He is a person who is perfectly willing to present his views, but he understands that his views aren't the thing that counts. The thing that counts are the instructions he gets from the Secretary of State and from the President. The Secretary of State has endorsed him in a very strong message. Mrs. Rice thinks that he recognizes the abilities that he has, and he's demonstrated in his previous service with this administration, with the previous administration under her president's father. So that I think we've got a very good man here, and I think it's perfectly absurd to oppose him because you wished his boss had been defeated in the last election.
Mr. Weinberger, I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Caspar Weinberger, former Secretary of Defense under President Ronald Reagan. Next to Lord David Hannay, he was Britain's ambassador to the United Nations in the 1990s, joining us on the line from London. Hello, David.
Hello, good morning.
What do you think of the choice of John Bolton?
Well, I'm not going to express a personal opinion. I think there's too much personalization of these things, and every member state of the UN has the absolute right to nominate as its ambassador the person they think fit to do so. And I don't think it's for others to criticize. Some of the things that John Bolton has said on the public record in the past have aroused a good deal of concern, but I think he'll need to be judged, if the Senate approves his appointment, he'll need to be judged on his performance when he gets there.
Well, we have heard lots of reports from European diplomats that people who are in the United Nations now are a little bit concerned about the ideology that he brings there or his forthrightness in expressing that. Do you think those are valid complaints or not?
Well, as I say, I think that'll have to be tested in time. I agree very much with what Caspar Weinberger said when he said that an ambassador isn't there to make policy, he's there to implement policy and to carry out the instructions he receives from his capital. So I think we shouldn't overdo this, but I would say that I think bluntness and forthrightness can, to some extent, be a good quality, but you can overdo it. And if you trample on people's views, they tend to find ways of getting even with you, and that's not desirable because you're basically trying to carry people with you.
You'll also know that both President Bush and Secretary of State Rice have been in Europe recently talking about improving relations, some more multilateral activity between the U.S. And Europe. Do you think that the appointment of Bolton is a contradiction in context of that?
No, I don't think it's necessarily a contradiction. We'll have to, the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. I think it would be a great pity if it was a contradiction because the President and the Secretary of State had very successful visits to Europe and I think found there was a good deal more common ground than people might have thought of after all the shenanigans of the last 3 years. But clearly that's got to go a long way before it repairs the damage that's been done over that period. I hope it will be, because I think there are a lot of challenges which we Europeans and the United States really need to face together, not divided.
David, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Lord David Hannay was Britain's ambassador to the United Nations in the 1990s, joining us there on the line from London. Next to Sonny Efron, who is diplomatic correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, joining us from Washington's NPR studios. Hello, Sonny.
Good morning.
How long have you known John Bolton?
3.5 years. He has been one of the most important figures in the State Department, one of the most controversial figures in the State Department. He is loved and hated.
So this image of the man as a polarizing character is not necessarily something that's just been constructed since his appointment. He's got lots of friends and lots of enemies.
Oh, yes. Even by the standards of Washington, Mr. Bolton's a very polarizing person and has been really since the day he set foot in the State Department.
I want to ask you about something that I saw in the newspaper today. This is a former chief of the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research reported to be expected to testify against John Bolton's nomination. Is that something of substance, something we should keep an eye on?
Yes, I think it is significant. Carl Ford, who is the former head of the State Department Intelligence Bureau, is a well-respected person in Washington, someone who spent his entire career in intelligence, CIA, DIA. And it's important because Ford was the head of the unit inside the State Department, which was the only part of the U.S. intelligence apparatus that opposed the war in Iraq and that did not buy the allegations that were made about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Of course, they lost the bureaucratic war inside the administration, but were subsequently vindicated. And of course, Ford was an important part. He was the head of that unit at the time. He was very defensive of his analysts and the quality of the work they did. And of course, hindsight has improved his credibility. So the fact that he will testify, if in fact he does testify against Bolton, that will be significant. The two men inside the State Department were on very poor terms and had been feuding for quite a while.
Sonny, there has been a lot written about the way that John Bolton handles and manages and works with intelligence. And I don't know, in context of what we're talking about now, how important that is. I wonder if you can help me with that.
Well, that's a really open question. Obviously, as Secretary Weinberger said, ambassadors don't make policy. They follow instructions from Washington. But Bolton has been an avid consumer of intelligence, and it's certainly clear that this is part of the Democrats' strategy in the hearings will be to raise his handling of intelligence. So we're going to hear a lot more about this on Monday. Bolton comes in early every morning and devours, his aides say, an enormous amount of intelligence. Some of it coming directly from the CIA and unfiltered. And he has been very aggressive in using that intelligence. Of course, remember that Bolton is the top State Department official responsible for nonproliferation. And his view of himself is that he's the person who's responsible for defending American civilians against attack with weapons of mass destruction. He takes that job very seriously. And when he has been questioned in the past about his use of intelligence, he's defended it, but he's also said that his standard is, quote-unquote, zero tolerance for attacks on American civilians. That's a stance, and that he will be very aggressive in pursuing any intelligence and following up and on any intelligence that indicates that Americans may be under attack. Now, that stance has earned him a lot of support among conservatives, but it's made him very controversial inside the intelligence community and in the State Department.
And one of my colleagues here at The Connection was saying that you had seen that sort of pugnacious aspect of John Bolton firsthand.
Yes, but Mr. Bolton said to me, I say what I think and I sleep well at night. And he's a man who is known to say what he thinks. He is blunt. He is forceful. But he's won a lot of fans for that. And I think there are many people who think that that's just what's necessary at the United Nations. On the other hand, he has made enemies. I guess Mr. Ford among them. He's widely disliked by many of the European diplomats with whom he negotiated. But some of his critics also respect some of his accomplishments. Notably, he's depicted as a unilateralist, but he was responsible single-handedly for negotiating, conceiving and negotiating the Proliferation Security Initiative and getting more than 60 countries on board to help intercept shipments of weapons of mass destruction.
I need to stop you there, Sonny, because we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Connection listeners, I'd like to hear from you. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Does John Bolton get your vote? As the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, is this kind of tough-talking person precisely who the U.S. needs to have at a moment when the U.N. is trying to figure out what it wants to be, or the wrong person for the job? 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. This hour, we're taking a look at the nomination of John Bolton as the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. It's been quite a debate in Washington and outside Washington whether or not this is the right man for the job or not. Is it a little bit of old politics playing out, or is there substance here to the critics' charges that perhaps he's not the right person to be in the U.N. and representing the U.S. at this time? We're at 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to hear from you. Sonny Efron's going to be with us for the hour. She's diplomatic correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. Time to hear now from Frank Gaffney. He's president of the Center for Security Policy. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy and Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear Forces and Arms Control. And Mr. Gaffney, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, you have been sort of helping gather together the support for John Bolton. What's the sort of strongest case that you can make for this man as precisely, I think you wrote in your piece, precisely the man for the job at this time?
Well, I think at this time is a particularly relevant thing to emphasize. The thing that characterizes this time is that the United Nations is in crisis. The credibility of the organization, its utility in a world that is frankly becoming more messy, not less, and its perhaps even its viability as an institution is very much in play. And it seems to me, and to now 88 or so other people with very impressive, I think, credentials in the national security policy-making business, foreign policy, defense policy, diplomats, military personnel, civilians of various kinds, members of Congress, former members of Congress, have come together to say that basically the kind of individual we see in John Bolton, a man of impressive intellect, as was mentioned earlier, a man of great personal courage, and not least courage of his convictions, a man who is a forceful and articulate advocate of the positions he's given, and in this case, most especially, a man who has the confidence of the President of the United States.
I mean,
is a good candidate to help guide and catalyze real change at the UN when it needs it desperately.
I mean, you know that some of the critics are saying that based on what he has said in the past, he's more likely to tear down the UN than be a part of helping fix it.
Well, there is reconstruction required here. And some may say that that's deconstruction. Others may say that that's the necessary systemic change that is the essential precursor to reconstruction. I'm of the latter school myself. And to be honest with you, I think a great many of us are not entirely sure that the UN can be salvaged and made into the kind of thing that was envisioned and would be so useful. But was envisioned at the time of its founding. This is the problem. Those who believe that it's pretty much okay and maybe needs a little tinkering, I think are wrong, and are among those who think that President Bush is wrong and who would like very much to make a political statement against this president by denying a very capable man this job at this critical time.
One more guest I want to bring into the program before we go to our callers. That's Don Kraus. He is president of the Center for UN Reform and executive vice president of Citizens for Global Solutions. That's the group spearheading the campaign against John Bolton's nomination. Don, thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
What's your case against the man? Bottom line, why is he the wrong choice?
He's the wrong choice because he just basically does not believe in the UN system. He has said there's no reason to consider international treaties as legally binding, that granting any validity to international law is a big mistake. He is letting the fox into the hen house here. He's a man who says, I don't do carrots, and that's one half of the diplomatic toolbox. He brings his own controversy with him. He is probably more knowledgeable about the UN than any other candidate that we've put up there in a while, but he brings with him a lot of baggage that will work against the interests of the United States. Furthermore, this is not a should not be a partisan issue. President Bush, when he began his second term, said it's a moment for second thoughts and that he is determined to work as far as possible within the framework of international organizations. When Secretary Rice came into the State Department, she brought her own team with her and didn't give Mr. Bolton a promotion there. She also appointed her own person to deal with UN reform. But there is a political debt owed to Mr. Bolton, primarily because of the role that he played in the stopping the recount in Florida in the 2000 elections, and there are those within the administration who supports him. This is very much a split within the administration, and it has been that rather than one versus the other.
All right, we're going to get a chance to listen to our guests on these different points, but we also want to make sure our callers are part of this. To Imran, who's joining us now on the line from Westboro, Massachusetts. Imran, what do you think?
Hi. I guess I would want to just pick up on the point of Reconstruction and ask, you know, Reconstruction in whose image? I think that despite what Caspar Weinberger characterized as the opponents to Bolton's nomination, I think that it's not unique to the Bush administration. I think that even under Clinton, Madeleine Albright was instrumental in getting rid of Boutros-Ghali, and I think now the neocons are looking to get rid of Kofi Annan, and they're using the Oil for Food program to oust him, and I think that John Bolton is really going to be instrumental in trying to undermine Kofi Annan. And I think that one last point is that, you know, most of the objections, I think, are around the fact that the UN is really the only venue where weaker countries can actually voice their opinion and maybe even displeasure about U.S. foreign policy. And I think that by trying to restructure the United Nations to the way we would like it, it probably serves to silence countries who otherwise have no voice on the world stage except when the war actually starts.
Frank Gaffney, talk to Imran here.
I think that the question of remake it in whose image is best answered by looking at the UN Charter, the founding principles of the organization, which I think speak eloquently to freedom. And it's true that some of the weaker countries find the UN to be a useful vehicle for expressing their view. Unfortunately, there are a great many of them that are enemies of freedom. And they have increasingly, I think, had their way with the institution. Some of the most egregious examples have been putting countries like Libya and Sudan on the Human Rights Commission.
So okay, but
even the Secretary-General that Imran admires so much is now found offensive to the point of saying we got to get rid of that particular institution. That's deconstruction that I guess is okay if the Secretary-General is in favor of it, but if the United States government thinks it's a good idea, it would apparently not be. In my view, we do need structural change. And I think Kofi Annan is part of the problem personally. The President of the United States has said we have confidence in Kofi and we'd like him to continue. I'm sure if John Bolton is appointed, he will reflect the administration's position on that particular point.
Imran, one more to you.
Well, I guess we'll just say we shall see what John Bolton really does, but I'm not advocating that, you know, countries that are against freedom are given premier spots on different UN councils. But I think, you know, if you want to say who's created mess around the world, I think we should maybe take a look in the mirror and see what we've done in Iraq. And I think that despite world objections to the Iraq war, we went ahead and did it anyways. And I just think that having John Bolton in there is a fait accompli, I think.
Let me, if I can, just interrupt you there, Imran. I want to turn to Sonny Efron and just find out, what's the latest on the likelihood that he will get the job? There have been conflicting stories in papers that I've read about splits on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. What do we know now, Sonny?
Well, there is a split on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. What we know is that we don't know how it'll come out. A lot right now seems to hinge on Senator Chafee of Rhode Island and his a Republican who has voiced some questions about Bolton. He said that that his constituent mail, according to his aides, is running very heavily against Bolton. There's a real split among the Republicans. There's a number of Republicans as well as Democrats who believe that the president should be allowed to choose his own man for the job, that barring real evidence of misconduct, it is political to attack someone of because of their views. Others feel that Bolton has really crossed the line because he has been so forceful, because he has alienated so many people, and because this is an administration that's now pledging itself to work with allies, that Bolton is not the right person. We don't know where Chafee's going to go. It's also possible that the panel could deadlock 9-9. And then it goes to the Senate. There's a lot of arcane rules as to what might happen. It could kill the nomination, or it could simply be kicked to the full Senate, which with a Republican majority would presumably approve Bolton.
1-800-423-8255, the number to join our conversation this hour as we take the measure of John Bolton, whether or not he would be a good or a bad representative of U.S. interests at the U.N. What your thoughts are, we'd like to hear. We're going next to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Ron's on the line. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I just wanted to share my concern about what the Europeans see as a cowboy mentality that the United States has, a go-it-alone mentality. And I think that this appointment by President Bush may just further reinforce that feeling that the United States is giving the European countries. And I'd like to hear the comments of the guests and how
just
feel.
Ron, let me ask you something though. If as his backers have said on the program, this is a man who genuinely reflects the opinions and the attitudes of the administration, isn't it better to have that person there? I mean, you can quarrel with the administration if you want, but you at least want someone there who's reflecting what they think, don't you?
Well, certainly, but the being blunt and forceful, I think, is good in a leadership position. But as a diplomat to an organization where you have people who are just as important as you, you have to really be mindful of their feelings and thoughts and not just shut them down all the time. I feel like that those qualities, being blunt and forceful, are not going to aid Mr. Bolton in that position.
Let me, if I can, turn to Don Krause on this, because people point back in history to Daniel Patrick Moynihan and Jean Kirkpatrick as blunt, forceful ambassadors to the UN who acquitted themselves and the country very well during their time there.
They certainly did, but they also had a basic belief in the UN system and how it works that Mr. Bolton does not seem to share. And they were in a very different time where we were still dealing with the Cold War. Now, the problem that we have is this is a very important year for UN reform. Secretary General Annan has released an agenda that will move towards a summit of world leaders this September that looks towards how do we fix the UN and make it a more effective 21st century institution, really better capable of dealing with security. There's pieces in there that the U.S. wants and will work for, and there are pieces that it won't want as much, but we need a diplomat who could build the coalitions and build the consensus to move this kind of package forward.
Can I ask you just one question about that, Don,
sure,
though? I mean, people have been looking at the UN's attempts to reform itself for decades now, and it just never seems to work. If someone goes in with big boots on and kicks a few doors down. Is there any likelihood that the end result of that would be constructive?
I've been watching these UN reform efforts for the last decade and a half. The one that's on the table right now has more momentum behind it than anything that I have seen, and there is a good possibility of making it happen. Of course, the U.S. needs to be forceful in terms of the pieces that it wants, but it also needs to be diplomatic about the way it goes for and build a package and really bring others along with it as well. The question is, will Mr. Bolton have the capability to be able to do that? And that's really what a lot of people are questioning. Is will he be able to bring others along with us in the way that he goes about doing his diplomacy when he really doesn't buy into a lot of the underlying values? You know, Mr. Bolton has said that if he was to redo the Security Council, there'd only be one permanent member, which would be the United mm-hmm. States, and, you know, which certainly brings Japan and Germany, who would like to be on the Security Council, to question him. He has said that Taiwan should have diplomatic recognition, which will create problems with the Chinese. You know, this is really a question of, is this the right man for this job at this time?
Let me just ask Frank Gaffney in on this. I mean, the case that you've got to know how to speak the language, you've got to know the passwords to get in the right doors to deal with the people. You don't buy that, Frank?
Well, I think there is an underlying bigger issue here, and I'm delighted to have a representative of the what used to be called the World Federalist Association, Mr. Krause, representing the view that basically we need to build up at our own expense, the expense of our sovereignty, the expense of our power, the expense of our freedom of action, the expense even perhaps of our constitutional rights, the power of a UN that he's been following and championing, I gather, for a decade and a half, as contrasted with the view of the President of the United States, and I believe the vast majority of the American people, which hope that a UN that is closer to the principles of freedom, and you know, that earlier caller talked about how awful it was that we brought freedom, didn't put it quite this way, but it was the substance of it, brought freedom to Iraq. The UN view of things is let despots run countries the way they want to. And the reason that's the case, the reason that would be a terrible model for us to further strengthen and build up and embrace, is you will have less freedom around the world under that kind of UN. So we're looking for structural change. I think that's President Bush's hope. I think he's appointing a man who, as our colleague from the LA Times pointed out, has demonstrated incredibly successful diplomatic skills at doing the kind of hard things that are actually making this world safer, namely being able to work with other countries to stop the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. This is, I think, the kind of guy you want bringing the kind of worldview that we as Americans generally have, and doing so in a capable way that will, I believe, bring about the sort of change Daniel Patrick Moynihan and Gene Kirkpatrick were associated with in an earlier time.
Let me go back to our colleague from the Los Angeles Times, Sonny Efron. The point that was made at the very beginning, Sonny, by Caspar Weinberger, that, you know what, this is just people trying to refight the election rather than looking more carefully at who John Bolton is and what he would do at the UN. You've done some reporting on this. I'm just wondering, does that hold water in your view?
I think there's some truth to it, but I think it's also more complicated than that. Look, John Negroponte, Bolton's pre-predecessor, who is now going to be, who was subsequently ambassador to Iraq. He was the very respected ambassador to the United Nations. Negroponte certainly had some controversial aspects to his past because of his service in Latin America during the Reagan years. But there was no opposition to Negroponte in any of the committees, even from some of the people who had opposed him during the Reagan years. Negroponte is a supreme diplomat. He is understated. He is self-effacing. He is quiet. He is highly effective. And he was very effective at the United Nations. Bolton is a very different kind of person. And I think it does speak to the question of what the president wants, but it does come to the question of, does the president want multilateralism, or does he want to kick the UN?
And Connection listeners, who do you want representing the country's interests at the UN? Someone who is diplomatic or someone who is undiplomatic? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. A lot of diplomatic flack in the air over the proposal of John Bolton as the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. We have Sonny Efron, diplomatic correspondent for the L.A. Times, helping steer us through that, representing the point of view that Bolton is the wrong man for the job. Don Krause, president of the Center for U.N. Reform and executive vice president of Citizens for Global Solutions. Frank Gaffney has been gathering support for Mr. Bolton. He is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy and currently President of the Center for Security Policy. If you'd like to know a little bit more about the organizations that those two people represent, you can find them on our website. We're at theconnection.org. Let's go to Westboro, Massachusetts for our next call. John's with us. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What do you think?
My comment basically is very basic in that the President gets to appoint these people, and the Senate is supposed to, I believe, advise and consent. If he's not qualified, then he should not be accepted. But the main point is that I don't know that they've found anything that makes him unqualified at this point. It's just personal opinion, it appears.
So what are you saying then, John, that unless the Senate can make a case against John Bolton, then he should be there because he's the president's choice?
Basically, yes. I mean, the president gets to, president won the election in 2004, and he gets to choose the people that he wants to represent them in the UN and for other things. And I just feel that it's
it's as simple as that. You know what, John? I want you to hang on, if you would, for half a sec, because I've another caller joining us now who's going to disagree with you. Bernadette's calling in from Aiken, South Carolina. Bernadette, what's your case against John Bolton?
Well, I think that Mr. Bolton's appointment would alienate our allies even further, but would also represent some kind of, you know, U.S. arrogance, a trend, you know, this trend to turn off, you know, other countries' voice and values. And true, you know, as the previous caller said, that's the president who appoints, you know, the ambassador, ambassadors. And but the point is that, well, is it in the best interest of, you know, the United States? I really don't think so.
And that, of course, will be part of what the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is looking at. But John, that point that Bernadette's making about the case that's being made, that Bolton will alienate other countries at the UN, do you think there's merit or weight to that?
I don't know, because I don't really know the man very well. I know his characterization from both the conservative and the liberal sides.
Yeah.
And I think that that's basically what this choice is being made on. He is perhaps more conservative than John Negroponte, I don't know, but it does appear that it's more a question of, well, we don't like him, we don't like his politics, so therefore we're going to fight him. And I don't think that that's a proper way for this argument to be going. I mean, if he's not qualified, then clearly he should not be accepted. But if it's not, it's either a question of him being qualified or not qualified.
Right. Don Krause, let me hear from you. What John's saying is that the man has the qualifications to be in that job.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is just how much controversy he brings with him and will bring with that job to him. In the last 5 days, we've had over 16,000 signatures on an online petition opposing it. It's just an indication it's rare to get this kind of opposition on an ambassadorial nomination. Another piece of it is how much of his beliefs that he brings with him that will limit his ability to do the job. For example, last week the Security Council voted a resolution referring the genocide in Darfur to the International Criminal Court. Mr. Bolton has been one of the largest opponents to the court, saying that when he gave the letter to the UN renouncing the U.S.'s support for the court, it was, quote, the happiest moment of my government service.
But it goes back to what was said very early in the program, Don, and that is that he doesn't get to freelance at the UN. He doesn't get to call down or block something like that unless he has the administration backing him on that.
It's often not what you say. It's how you say it that makes the difference. There was a negotiation that went on that put enough immunity into that resolution that allowed the U.S. to abstain from vetoing it, I find it very difficult to believe that Mr. Bolton would have been able to pull those kind of negotiations together because of his strong beliefs that he brings with him. I think this would work to the detriment of our country.
Frank Gaffney.
Can I get in on this?
Yeah.
You know, I must say it is striking that Don refused to address the question you put to him. There's no question John Bolton is eminently qualified for this job. He has worked for years in UN organization-related posts. He is deeply immersed in the substance of the most pressing issues before the United Nations today. He is skilled, as we've talked about, in the negotiation of hard things and has succeeded with them. And, you know, the fact is the United States government, the president, the Congress, I believe the overwhelming majority of the American people do not support the International Criminal Court, among other reasons, because contrary to the World Federalist view of things, it would subordinate American sovereignty and American persons to rules of law that are conjured up by other people, and in some cases it's not even clear by whom, and it is antithetical to what we are about as a country.
Hang on that, just a second here, Frank.
What your position on that is completely consistent with both the president
and there are 54 ambassadors who signed a letter saying that he's the wrong man for the position. So let's not quarrel about his credentials. I think that everybody will agree that he's got those. But you've got to admit, Frank, that there are weighty people saying not a good choice, just like you've got good people saying that he's an important choice.
Yes, I'm simply saying that I don't think it's on the basis of the argument that he's not qualified.
Right.
I think even the people who are critical of him are to greater or lesser degrees prepared to concede that point. They go on to make these other points, as Don has just done, and as most of your callers have just done, that, well, he won't be able to play and well work well with others. And I think this is simply wrong on the face of it. And more to the point, while it is inconvenient, Daniel Patrick Moynihan and Jean Kirkpatrick, with whom I think John Bolton is properly paired, did offend or at least discomfit a lot of diplomats when they were speaking the truth at the United Nations. And the fact that that was during the Cold War doesn't alter the need for speaking truth. And I think the president is absolutely right. He would like a competent, highly qualified, highly skilled, and very articulate exponent of the truth to represent not only the president, but the country at the UN at this critical moment.
Okay, we're going back to our callers, to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Timothy's on the line. Hi, Timothy.
Good morning.
What do you think?
My only comment is the expert you have that's grandstanding for the status quo. The status quo of that organization right now, we call the United Nations, is that in Africa it has allowed two horrible genocides to go on with no action. And then afterwards, they ask the United States to clean it up. So, really, at this point, Mr. Bolton sounds like the better choice, only if it is to shake the organization out and try to get on with a better business.
It's an interesting perspective that I'd like to hear Sonny speak on for just half a second. Sonny, if you'd help me with this, because there is, as Timothy expresses, a really strong constituency in the United States that is, alongside the president, pretty critical of the way that the UN has been operating. Is that what may end up tipping this whole thing in Bolton's favor, in your view?
Yes, I think that's the most powerful argument. I think clearly the president, we ask the question, what does the president really want? I think the president wants both. He wants good relations with allies. He needs good relations with allies, particularly at this critical moment in time when the U.S. military is very stretched in Iraq. He needs help on peacekeeping. He needs help on issues like Sudan, on the Darfur. But at the same time, I think the administration is very committed to U.N. reform. This was a very serious U.N. reform proposal that was put forth. I think the negotiations are going to be long, thorny, and very important. And so it is a question of whether Mr. Bolton will be an effective voice for reform. And I think the Senate votes will hinge on that. But I do want to go back to this question of Bolton's his credentials versus his temperament. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the issues has been how widely disliked he has been by other diplomats. It's true that he may discomfort them, but there's a question of the speaking truth, and I think this is where the Democrats are going to come in and try to do some damage to Bolton. Ultimately, I don't know if it will matter, as you said at the beginning of the show, but the question of whether Mr. Bolton has silenced dissenters within the State Department is going to be raised at the hearing. And it is an interesting question because he has been made very aggressive forward-leaning stands on the intelligence, for example, that Cuba is developing bioweapons programs. A State Department analyst on Ford's staff, who believed that there was not sufficient evidence to support that, clashed with Bolton openly on that, and Bolton tried to have him reassigned. That kind of thing will be aired, and I think will be damaging.
I want to go back to Timothy in Virginia Beach, just on the question of the U.S. and the U.N., because, Timothy, if you're saying that the United Nations itself is a mess right now, what should it look like, and what would the U.S. role there be? Is it by going in and knocking some doors down? What do you think?
I really think that the U.S. Needs to lessen its role, and I think Europe, who has such strong opinions about our behavior in the world today, especially where they are rich nations, should have a higher participation and a higher contribution level.
So it has more to do with money in your mind, right?
Well, with money becomes with money comes voice, and with money comes power. And I think if they want to have control of the organization more and have more voice and more power, if you will, in the direction, then they also need to pony up. I mean, that's a very blunt statement, I know. But.
No, it's a good point, because I think that the argument over John Bolton does, in at many levels, become an argument about the UN and how this country represents itself at that organization. Waltham, Massachusetts next. Tom's joining us from there. Tom, what do you think about Timothy's point?
Well, I think I feel like I think the UN is in crisis, and I'm not sure that John Bolton is what's needed here.
Why not?
Because I'm not sure that, like some of your other callers have said and the guests have talked about, I'm not sure that more bluntness and unilateralism is the answer. I mean, Daniel Patrick Moynihan and Jean Kirkpatrick have been mentioned several times. What about Eleanor Roosevelt? I'm fairly certain that she's spinning like a top in her grave right now about the state that the UN is in, and I think that, you know, the UN should not be an instrument of U.S. policy. I think it's an important institution as a means to challenge U.S. hegemony in world affairs, and rather than tearing it down, I think that we should try to find a way to sort of reestablish it as an important, effective institution.
Don Kraus, though, if the UN were to be this organization that provided balance against the U.S., what does the U.S. have to do with, working within the UN? This is part of the puzzle.
I don't think it's about providing balance against the U.S. It needs to be an organization that could really deal with collective security in the 21st century. It needs to have the capacity and the resources to do it. And John Bolton is just the wrong man to be leading the U.S. efforts on reforming the U.N. to get us to there, because he brings with him his own agenda. He's a loose cannon. In the midst of intense negotiations with North Korea, Bolton publicly called Kim Jong a tyrannical dictator and said that life in North Korea is a hellish nightmare, which is absolutely true. But to say that during a diplomatic negotiation publicly is the wrong thing to do.
Well,
no one
I remember
in Washington
the second paragraph of
that
story saying Colin Powell signed off on that speech. So there was a little bit of good cop, bad cop going on there. It was strategy.
May I make a point on this?
I just want to hear Don finish on that, and then I'll come to you, Frank, if you hang on half a sec.
I never saw the part on Colin Powell signing off on that piece of it. The Koreans actually at that point wanted Bolton out of the negotiations. So what good did that do for him as a diplomat negotiating this? We need someone who could bring people together, make them work together, forge common agenda, and move forward with it. There's a lot in this reform effort for the United States to have the UN deal better with terrorism, better with weapons of mass destruction, better in terms of promoting democracy. There's a lot in it for us, and we can make that happen. We just don't believe that Bolton is the man that's going to get us to the finish line on this.
Frank Gaffney.
Well, I, Tom broke the code here. Let's be clear. When he talks about the UN not being an instrument of the United States and challenging U.S. hegemony in world affairs, I just have to tell you, that is absolutely consistent with the view the World Federalist Association has taken for years. It is consistent with the view of a lot of people in the United Nations, and it is evidently the view of some Americans. It is not the view of the man that the American people have now twice elected to define American security policy, and it is not his view of the kind of representation that he wants at the UN. Now, is it the case that you will find somebody who speaks the truth giving offense to the North Koreans? Yes. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so.
But there are questions being raised about the way that he handles intelligence information, Frank.
The speech that John Bolton gave during the past 4 years was given without it being cleared by everybody else in the State Department. Not a single one. And if you want to ask, was it advisable for these speeches to be given? Fine. But you have to ask Colin Powell. You have to ask Richard Armitage. You have to ask other people who clear on those speeches. But let me just make one other point, because we're
be quick if you would.
On intelligence. John Bolton understood long before it became as well documented as it is now that U.S. intelligence about closed societies like Iraq's, like Iran's, like North Korea's, and like Cuba's is very inadequate. And the evidence that you have to go on is sometimes fragmentary, and you have to make thoughtful, inferential judgments from it. About Cuba, let's be clear. Cuba has a first-class bio...
I'm going to interrupt you there, Frank, because I do want to just get a last word from Sonny in terms of guiding us ahead to what will happen before the Senate. Is it going to be this argument over how he managed intelligent information? Is that what's going to turn it for him, Sonny?
Well, I think that argument will be made. I think the Democrats will make a lot of it. I think that the best argument in favor of Mr. Bolton is the argument that the UN needs reform and the speaking truth to power argument. I think it's impossible to know how it'll turn out on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee per se, whether it'll split or not. There's reports that Mr. Bush will be lobbying Mr. Chafee very hard, so we'll have to see how it comes out.
And that hearing begins next week, we are told. Sonny, I want to thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you, Dave.
Sonny Efron, diplomatic correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. Frank, thank you for being with us as well.
Pleasure, thank you.
Frank Gaffney, president of the Center for Security Policy, and Don Kraus, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Don is president of the Center for Global Solutions. We also talked with Lord David Haney, former British ambassador to the United Nations, and Caspar Weinberger, former U.S. Defense Secretary. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.